Greetings. Welcome to Alafiani. This is class number two for Orisha Lifestyle Academy's African Spirituality for Awakened Personal Experience. I am your instructor for this course, this mini course, Obafemi Orikunwa. I welcome you, and I'm very glad that you have opted into this class and you're taking on the task and the enjoyment of learning about the tradition and learning about yourself through the tradition. Before we go too far into this class, I want to really emphasize that it's a class, and you may have taken a variety of classes online or virtually, or you may not, but it's always worth saying. It's valuable, you know, almost endlessly. So to just emphasize the fact that as a class, you got to make space and time to actually explore the information. So as a general rule, you need to make, you know, time to sit down with your pen and your paper and devote an hour and a half, 2 hours to just, you know, learning from this class. And even in the chance that it's impossible for you to set aside 2 straight hours, you need to block out, you know, half an hour. And you divide that half an hour up, 15 minutes for listening to the lecture and taking notes, and then 15 minutes for processing and thinking and maybe talking to somebody, whatever your process is. But you need to designate that time for you to be able to really dig into this and think about it and make any real sense of it. Also, as a general rule, I would recommend that you listen to this at least, plan to listen to this at least 3 times. Plan to review this whole body of knowledge at least 3 times. So I would say, you know, lecture by lecture. That would be my recommendation. If you set aside like 2 hours and you listen, right, and you take notes and then you think and you process, that's going to help you to get it a lot more, you know, sensibly. Likewise, as far as the dashboard is concerned, you should have been to the dashboard. You can log in at orishalifestyle.com. You hit log in and you just follow the instructions. And as you get to the that login page, it'll gradually show you more pages. So as the lessons are released, it's at that login page that you're going to see, you know, what classes are available right now. And then anytime you're already logged in, if you want to go back to the classes or you want to see what you have access to, you can go to my account. And, you know, that's going to show up in different places, like if you're using a phone, an iPhone, an Android, or if you're using a computer, and what kind of operating system you use. You know what I mean? All the little layouts are different. So suffice it to say that on the site, it's going to say, my account. So wherever you find my account in the menu on the website, orishalifestyle.com, that's where you're going to be able to get into your classes. Okay. So once you do that, you know, just participate enthusiastically, vigorously. Give a lot of thought to this. You know, take notes. Think about what stands out. Right? Think about things that you felt were conspicuously absent. You know what I mean? Let's really engage your thinking, your best thinking on this particular subject, because this is where it's at. This one, when we talk about awakened personal experience, we're talking about awareness, basically. And the more awareness you apply to the whole process, you know, the more you're going to experience what we're aspiring to in our spiritual pursuits, right? Spirituality, African spirituality, and Orisha lifestyle in particular, are highly experiential, right? They're highly experiential, which is probably what brings a lot of people in, right? I mean, if you say the drums, the dances, the songs, maybe the costumes, the spirit possessions, the rituals, the sacrifices, the beads, I mean, you can go on and on and on. There's so many things that are endemic to Orisha lifestyle that it creates an experience that is undeniable. And so in this particular class, in this particular series of lessons, what I want to emphasize is how important it is and how much access you have to higher and higher levels of awareness, you know, in the experience. And so that's why we're here. That's what brought us to this class number two. And my running analogy of awakened personal experience is that it's like lucid dreaming on one end of the spectrum, and it's like getting dental work done without anesthesia on the other end of the spectrum. It's very intense, right? But the discipline for you is staying aware throughout it all. It's not losing your consciousness. It's not allowing your awareness to just be completely distracted, or for you to be totally unintentional about your awareness, right? And so one way to help you keep that kind of thinking alive and active throughout the class is by you keeping these two questions somewhere visible for yourself. Keep these at the forefront, right? You should write these questions down. How does this apply to my life today? As we're going through the material, as I'm making these different statements and you're doing different activities, keep asking yourself, how does this apply to my life today? Question number two, how do I use these elements and how do I use what I'm learning actively? How can I put this to use, let's say, within the next 24 hours? Okay, how does this apply to my life today? And then how can I make this useful? How can I apply this in the next 24 hours? Okay. And the reason why that little mental model is important going into this is because we are living in the wake of a real problem, right? And it's a problem that some might call the unintended consequences of, you know, mainstream American culture. To be fair, right? These are the things that 40 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, no one may have been able to really anticipate. And if they had, well, you know, that doesn't change the fact that we're having the experience of basically being very fragmented in our lifestyle. Okay? How we think, how we feel, and what we do can be very contradictory for us, you know, particularly in this space and time. And a large reason for that is because we're outside of the creative process, right? I've told the story many times of the man I met who started a garden because his 7-year-old son didn't know the difference between a toy and a tomato. If you want either of them, you go to the store and you buy them. So what's the difference? And so to some extent, we're all at that step, that seven-year-old stage, right, where we don't really understand the life cycle of anything. We don't really know the life cycle of our water, for example. The water that's coming into your house, you don't really know where that water comes from. You don't really know how it gets to you. You don't know really where it goes. And what happens after it leaves your house or your body, right? We don't really know the life cycle of our food. We don't really know the life cycle of our clothing, of our electricity. You can go on and on and on, right? But we're consuming all of this stuff constantly. At a certain level, we know that there's some incongruency between what we're doing and what we're using, right? How we feel and what we're actually able to accomplish. These are experiences that weaken us at the foundation of our identity. In other words, the experience of having fragmented thinking where you don't know how anything really gets done, but you're just doing and doing and doing and doing and doing, you know, there's a fundamental missing link, right? And so it creates an insecurity. It destabilizes you. Okay, from the very ground, right? And so we end up here in the West with a certain sense of isolation from the real process of life, from the real source of life. We have a disconnection, right, between ourselves and how life actually manifests, and it shows in the depth of our relationship to our environments, the depths of our relationships to one another, the depths of our relationships to ourselves, right? And so this is the problem. Fragmented thinking creates a kind of an isolation, right? And that in and of itself is a wound, right? That in and of itself is a wound. A large part of this particular mini course is about addressing the wounds. It's about addressing the pain that comes with development, right? When you become, for example, a parent, right, and your child starts to grow teeth, right, there's a variety of things that can happen and that may be even likely to happen. The child will get a fever. The child will get diarrhea, right? And the other little subsequent symptoms that go with that, right? They may not want to eat. They may not sleep well. They may cry a lot, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the first time you experience it, it's shocking, right? Well, as a parent, sort of the second time you've experienced it, because you had to experience it, you had to undergo that experience yourself when you grew teeth, right? But as a parent, the first time you experience it, it's a bit shocking to the system. You're like, wow, what's wrong with the baby, right? Later on, after maybe you had another child, you're a grandparent, or maybe you got a lot of siblings or something, nieces and cousins, Well, then you come to realize, well, that's a condition that's natural, right? That's part of what babies experience, okay? Now, the person who doesn't really know that and is you know, just shocked by the fact that this child has a fever and is fussy all of a sudden and their mannerisms have changed, they're lethargic, right? They may be quick to run for a pill or a shot or something that's immediately going to change, right, the child's, you know, behavior or something like that, or regulate it. The person who's very aware of that, maybe the older sibling or the aunt, uncle, the grandmother, grandfather, the person who knows that this is what happens when babies grow teeth is going to say, run some water, room temperature, and put the baby in the water, you know, just prop them up and see what happens, right? Because the water's going to cool the baby down, okay? So that's a natural, developmentally appropriate ailment, okay? And it doesn't stop there. At every stage of development, there's an ailment that accompanies it. There's something that you must, you know, kind of suffer through with the in the experience. There's an uncomfortable part of growth, okay? And in the same way that an elder can look at a teething child and say, you don't need to use any medication first. Let's try this cool water first. Right? And the same, that perspective that the elder has on the teething child, you also can have upon yourself as you learn to observe your own experience and study it and make sense of it and contextualize it, you know, by time and experience. And that is what we're here to establish and create for ourselves through this particular class on African spirituality for awakened personal experience. Orisha Lifestyle provides the solution to fragmentation by facilitating a more holistic relationship, not only to yourself, but to your parents, your siblings, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, and your cousins, and your community, right? Orisha Lifestyle gives you a more holistic relationship to the whole flow of life and the phases that happen developmentally as an individual grows, as a family grows, as a town grows, as a civilization grows. There are phases of development, okay? And the phases of development are described many times and in many ways through the sacred text, the oral traditions as they're called, the Oriki, the verses of Ifa, the way people are named. All of these things help create a context for the broader experience, right? And they help you to keep your focus and your awareness consistent, right, with where you are. And so Orisha Lifestyle sort of it is a map. If you look at Orisha Lifestyle as a, if you could map it, let's put it that way. If you could map Orisha Lifestyle and draw it out, then it would be like heaven and earth would be there on this map. And there would be a star in on some place in the map that would say you are here, right? And that place would be in heaven and expressed on earth as your prenatal choice, right? And I'm saying this not in a literal sense of heaven and earth as different locations. More so, heaven and earth as different points in time. Okay? Heaven and earth as different points in time. And the reason or the explanation that I want to give for that statement is that the theology and the mythology of Orisha lifestyle places humanity in heaven, in the space where pre-manifestation exists, so is the consciousness of humanity. And that is what is the precursor of humanity as a whole. In Yoruba, we call it Enia. Enia. And the holy Odu Ifa tells us about Enia being chosen by Olodumare, the Supreme Being, to work to bring about the good condition on earth, right? And the good condition ultimately as the balancing and the harmonization of heaven and earth. And heaven and earth, again, are things that I want you to understand as points in time, right? For the purposes of this particular lesson, heaven and earth are points in time. And the reason why I'm saying it that way is because I want you to also hold in your mind the analogy of the elder who's, you know, observing the teething child. Okay, it's an experience that becomes understood differently based on, you know, your points in time. If you can look at it like the elder does, then it's going to mean something very different than it's going to mean to the person who's the parent who's the first time seeing their baby experiencing this. And the baby, you know, itself is having the experience. So, right? That's the real challenge, because we are at once all of them, right? And so, you as the baby, right now, who is experiencing this teething experience, right? You also now need. By us understanding heaven and earth, you can also now put yourself into the space, the mental understanding that there's something before that. Okay, and that's what it means when we talk about Enya. That the you that exists right now, there's something before that. There's a predecessor to that. There's a predecessor to who you are right now. All right. And that's the you that we are going to be learning about in this particular class, the one that chooses, okay? We call it prenatal choice, and it's based on the understanding or another analogy, that earth is a marketplace. Heaven is our home. Earth is a marketplace, but heaven is our home. And so we come from this place before, okay, and then we get to the marketplace of life, and that's where the experiences take place, right? And these experiences are intended to improve us, to develop us, to purify us, to strengthen us, to test us, and make us realize who and what we truly are. Okay? Now, our choice to come from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm is also important to understand. It was a choice. People also chose to come to the world, right? And Olodumare chose people to bring about the good condition in the world. And so the ability to choose now is essential to your ability to be awakened in this process, okay? Because we're choosing. If it's lucid dreaming, we're choosing. If it's dental work without anesthesia, we're still choosing, okay? We are having the experience, but we're also now raising our awareness, pointing our awareness in a way that allows us to choose how we're going to respond to this deep experience. Now, in this process, what I want you to know is that consistency is king. Consistency is the oba of the land here, okay? And I'm not just talking about consistency between, let's say, different systems, okay? I'm talking about a consistency between, most importantly, your own learning process, okay? Generally speaking, we can divide the base of learning into four categories. You got information, okay? That's data. You've got knowledge, which again contextualizes the data. It gives it some kind of significance. Then there's application. It's what you do with it. And then there becomes wisdom, what you become as a result of it. Now, when we look within, I would say the spectrum of like internet information, like we're coming into a lot of information online, okay? What you know, or the information you get, and then the context of that information, it can be very different. Okay, so let me break this down a little bit more as to why the consistency piece it matters. You can have something like sand. Okay, we can say sand. That's information. It's basic. Knowledge is then knowing that you can take sand and you can heat it up to a certain temperature and it'll become glass. Or you can take this sand and you can mix it with some mud and some dirt and it'll become cement. Right? That's knowledge. Application is being able to actually do one of those things or both. Right? That's different. Application is different from knowing. Then you've got wisdom. The wisdom is where your expertise has reached a level where you know why. Right? It's not just being able to do, but you're doing in a way that is purposeful. It's deliberate. Right? And it's not just purposeful, but it's speaks to the why. It's why that thing exists. It's congruent with the real purpose and intent of the activity. That's wisdom. Okay? Now, if you get information in one place, okay, and you're trying to apply it, you got sand from one place, and you're trying to just turn it to glass, right? But it isn't sand that's really good for that. Or you've got a sand and you're trying to make cement out of it, and it really isn't the best sand for that, right? Even this is something as basic as sand, right, for a variety of reasons, you're going to discover there are lots of different kinds of sand, right? Or there are different ways that you can, you know, go about this process. What I'm trying to just exemplify here is the idea that there's a way that you can be walked through from information to knowledge to application to wisdom in a way that's consistent, that one isn't directly contradicting the other, and where there is contradiction, there's also some kind of an understanding of the contradiction, or some kind of a bridge, right, that brings you from where you are to the contradiction. The principle that we're looking for here is the rope, or symbolized anyway by the rope of continuity. Okay, the rope of continuity. This is something that I have discovered and practiced in my own, you know, in my own work, which is that there are these aspiring paths of transformation that people's aspirations tend to fall into certain clusters, if you will. That there are people who are aspiring to do certain things, and they're seeking out that activity because of its transformative impact on their lives. Right? It's not just something that they're doing, but they are aware of the fact that, you know, they're being transformed through this activity. And one of the aspiring pathways is through mastery of this principle of continuity, you know, and understanding and thinking and reasoning, and particularly using dialectical reasoning that says that, you know, there's this, the thesis, the antithesis, and then the synthesis. So there's the crying, the teething baby, and there's the perspective of the elder, and then, you know, there's the response of maybe the first time parent, you know, who now is able to do something different, something new, and create a whole new set of possibilities for everybody based on that synthesis, right? And what we're looking at in this particular effort, if you will, is to make sure that your experience from information to knowledge to application to understanding and wisdom is consistent. Okay? So everything that we're going to do in this particular class is going to function like connective tissue, so to speak. It's going to help you to connect the dots, okay? And more precisely, we want to connect the dots within ourselves, within your personal experience, what you think, what you feel, what you say, what you do, right? And being deliberate and purposeful about that. And so in that process, this class acknowledges how important mentorship is, how essential it is to have somebody who is familiar with the experience and is committed to laying out a pathway and you know, a way for you to practice it, almost like a coach or a music teacher, right? If you've ever had that kind of an experience, you know that when you want to do something, you're trying to figure something out, it can be frustrating, it can be challenging, but when you have someone to lay it out and who's willing to, you know, give you the pointers along the way, it's very, very helpful. It can help, you know, sort of expedite the whole developmental process. And by extension, this class in that regard is an ideal expression of the Tiwantiwa. Tiwantiwa is what I call a shared intuition and direct knowing of the highest. Okay, it harkens back to the idea that Enya is chosen by Olodumare to help bring about the good condition. Tiwantiwa is my understanding of our response, right? It's a shared intuition and a direct knowing of the highest. So it's we collectively having an intuitive recollection, an intuitive orientation towards bringing about the good condition. And we have a direct, unbroken knowing of the highest, which again is our ori. These are things that, you know, are placing us in heaven and earth in different points in time, different space and time. Okay, so Tiwantiwa is a kind of a network that brings all times into focus and gives us direct knowing of the highest. Tiwantiwa is in the name of the membership site. Okay, it is intended to offer a variety of activities and experiences that help you to be able to enjoy that Tiwantiwa consciousness. We have 3 divinations per year. Okay, we're looking at time. Time is so important. I mean, when it comes to your experience, when it comes to how you feel about your experience, one of the first things that you have to do is take control of your time, right? That's why the calendars are so important. Everybody's got these calendars. It's not just frivolous, right? There's an annual calendar, and then there's, you know, we've got the Orisha calendar from this place and that place and the other place, and everybody is doing what? They're casting Ifa at the new year, and everybody gives their proclamations and their declarations and their explanations for the upcoming year based on the Odu Ifa that they cast in their community for whoever is a part of that network. And I want to emphasize how important it is that you know that, you know, time is relative. It's like your birthday, right? The beginning of the year for you could be different from what it is for another person. And so these 3 divinations that you have access to as a member of Tiwantiwa, these 3 divinations help you start, you know, chart your own time and mark time, okay, on a regular interval. And you can start planning and organizing and getting the kind of perspectives you need to set the stage for everything to be smooth running for you, okay? Tiwantiwa is also study guides. I provide study guides that will, you know, hash through. It'll just be one verse of Ifa, but it's really meant to be a study, a template for study, okay, so that you can see how much thought goes into the sacred text and how deeply you can know it and learn from it in many ways, okay? Sometimes it isn't hundreds and hundreds of verses that you know. It's just the verses that you do know, you know them well, okay? It depends on what you're doing. Also, Tiwantiwa gives you access to a whole variety of downloads with papers and books as well as the growing body of videos. All of this is intending to help mentor you. Okay, these are all different ways in which I have conversations with one or two people, with people in a class, and you know, some aspect of it I'll crystallize and make it into a video and bring you into the conversation, right? Because that's a big part of mentorship. All of my coaches, all of my teachers, my guides, you know, not necessarily my classroom teachers, but my mentors and my coaches, they've done a great job of communicating key lessons to me. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what this is all about. And so the videos and the downloads are intended to say, hey, check this out. You know, these are things that you may find interesting, that you might find useful. And they're all, again, if you follow it all the way through in terms of the consistency around information, knowledge, application, et cetera, what I'm trying to do is provide a thematic and consistent experience for you in that process. And this class is like what we're drawing, just like a punctuation mark, right? Because we're focusing on your awareness and using your awareness to have awakened personal experience. And I keep repeating this deliberately because it's important that as we go into the whole process of now you applying the lessons and things like that, you've got to be really aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how it fits into the other parts of the whole process, right? Because there are entertaining kinds of information out there or educational experiences. They're entertaining, and they're meant for you to go through fast, right, or just to catch a few sound bites or what have you and be able to repeat it to somebody else. For this particular kind of process, I need you to understand that it's how important it is to put your feet flat, right, and to get grounded and focused about exactly what we're doing and what you are seeking from the experience, so that you can really be looking for ways to make it work for you, right? It's very important that it works for you, and you have to decide, hey, how am I going to make it work for me, right? What do I have to my benefit? What do I have working in my favor? What kind of resources do I have to help me to make this work for me? Okay. Myself, I'm going to be your tour guide, okay? I'm going to be your tour guide. And I guess that means we're going to time travel. We're going to do mental time travel, and I'm going to be your tour guide. And what I mean by that is I am going to, in this mini course, I'm going to walk you through the process of thinking about it and then doing specific kinds of activities that will bring you into contact with this terrain, right? I mentioned the map before of heaven and earth, and there's a star on that map that says you are here. Well, in that regard, you are the terrain, okay? You are the terrain that map refers to. You are both heaven and you are earth, right? And the tradition is a blueprint. It's a map. It's got instructions that come in the form of the culture, the lifestyle. All of these things are working together, and that's what I'm going to present to you as a process and as a journey into awakened personal experience. Okay? So, with all of that being said, I want to share with you your first formula, okay? The first formula is based on traveler's rule number one. Excuse me, tracker's rule number one. Well, travelers too, but really I learned this with the trackers. First thing first, we want to look at what the dangers are. Where could you get into trouble? If we were walking here in the woods in California, the first thing I'd want to let you know is what poison oak looks like, right? And by knowing what your number one risks are, what the things are that you need to avoid, you can really enjoy yourself more. You can really relax more because it's just, you know, you know what to look for. You know, and as long as you're not seeing it, you know it's a good day. So in that regard, we know that while earth is a marketplace and heaven is a home, we know that your physical body is different than your mental body or your awareness, right? There are greater limitations on your body than there are on your mind, okay? And so within your body, there is, we could say that there's sickness that can take place, right? And also within your mind, there's darkness. And that darkness is represented by the shadow. Okay? The shadow. And so the shadow is one of the driving forces of discomfort. The shadow is one of the great contributors to suffering and pain, fear, anxiety, vulnerability. These are things that are intimately tied to the shadow. Now, the shadow would cause people to sometimes, judge, right? Nobody wants to be around the shadow, okay? But the shadow is a part of the light. You can't have light without shadow. It's just, right? They just go together. Where you have light, you have shadow. And the brighter the light, the darker the shadow, the longer the shadow. And so that reality of dark and light are inseparable from the human experience, inseparable from the choice to come from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm. It comes with a shadow. And it's interesting that Ifa teaches that, you know, in the same verse that tells us that earth is a marketplace and heaven is our home, says that, you know, and we will account for our deeds in the heavenly realm. But that verse goes on to tell us how it's the shadow that will speak, right? You, your soul will return, but the shadow will be the one that will speak about what your quality of life was. And as part of your first formula, you're going to explore the shadow. You're going to illuminate the shadow, or Gigi. Okay? You're going to focus upon the shadow so that what is shadowy can become known. And as it becomes known, it can be used to serve our highest aspirations. Okay? The shadow, which creates these great, you know, vulnerabilities and difficulties, can be very useful. It can be made to support our highest aspirations, our highest intentions, our best selves. Okay? It is absolutely, positively accessible to us. This is, in many ways, I would say consistent with some of the ideas of alchemy, you know, Western alchemy, which is aspiring to turn lead into gold, right? And that is, it's an analogy for your, I would say, for your evolution, you know, right? You change your lead qualities of the, you know, into gold qualities, increase your value. Now, the Ifa would say something very similar to that. As we see here in the Holy Odu Okundadi, it reads, it is impossible to rest your back on air. This was Ifa's teaching to Oromila, who would marry Wura Ola, gold wealth. Any Babalawo who knows Ifa has gold in his stomach. Okay, any Babalawo who knows Ifa has gold in his stomach. So, you know, you can see the tension between the stomach, which is inside the body, and the knowledge, right? If you know, then you have even gold in your stomach, right? The heaven and earth are both very, very powerful, right? Illuminated and wealthy. So that is how I want to frame up this first formula of you discovering gold in your stomach, right? Illuminating your shadow with the intent to discover Wuraola gold wealth in your stomach, okay? And how are we going to do that? What does that look like in real terms? The first task that I want you to do is, let me get this exactly right. Your first task is going to be to explore your habits, okay, as pathways to your shadow. Explore your habits as pathways to discover your shadow, right? So this is like, not only am I your tour guide, I'm like, this is like a Dungeons and Dragons type thing. And what does that mean? Okay, what's that look like? That looks like, number one, you're going to draw up a list of your habits, okay? Because your habits sort of emanate out of your unconscious mind. Okay, your habits are something like, your heartbeat. You think about your heartbeat and your breathing and all these other different systems in your body that are regulating themselves. Well, those are sort of habits. Okay. Then you've got some other kinds of habits, though. Right. But in the same way that your heartbeat and your blinking and your breathing have become habitual, they come up out of a place that you don't even have to think about it, the unconscious mind, okay? Well, then also your shadows or your shadow is also sort of emanating out of your unconscious mind. You might even say that they are synonymous, right? But what we're going to do is we're going to start to list your habits with the intent of using them to peek in on your shadow, okay? Your shadow hides out within your habits. So then the second thing I want you to do in this process is I want you to ask yourself, are these habits of impulse or habits of intention? Are these habits of impulse or these habits of intention? Are you planning to do this? Right? Are you deliberately practicing this habit, brushing your teeth? Right? Or is this a habit that's like blinking or breathing? Right? Or other kinds of impulses. You need to take the time to think it through and just, you know, list all of them. Just start writing down habits, if you can think, as many as you can think of. The third question I want you to ask yourself is, are these habits persistent and continuous but not desirable? Are these habits persistent and continuous but not desirable? Okay. And again, I want to, you know, equip you with the certainty that your habits and your shadow and the place where it comes out of can and really should be used to serve your highest aspirations. Okay? That's task number one. And this task is, I would say this task is something that is relative or related to an aspect of destiny, which is called ayamo. Ayamo is that which is chosen and remains. Typically, when we talk about destiny, we just think of it as a single thing, right? Kind of like how people think of Africa. It's just one thing. But like Africa, destiny has many different aspects and many different attributes. It's very diverse, even though there is a oneness of it. Okay? And one aspect of destiny is ayamo, that which is chosen and remains. Ayamo is that aspect of destiny that once you choose it, it stays with you. Okay? Once chosen, ayamo cannot be changed. All right? So, again, we're going back to this understanding that earth is a marketplace, heaven is our home. It was in the heavenly realm that we chose to come to the earthly plane, and that Olodumare also chose us to help bring about the good condition. Okay? Ayamo is what we chose. And this is why we say, Ayamo mi kosieni tole yipada. Ayamo mi kosieni tole yipada. My destiny is from Olodumare. No earthly creature can change it. My destiny is from Olodumare. No earthly creature can change it. Okay? Ayamo is very powerful. It's very powerful. And it is very influential. Okay? The second task is going to be related to another aspect of destiny. Okay? The second aspect of destiny that I want to share with you for this particular class is akunleyan. Akunleyan is that which one kneels to choose. Akunleyan is that which one kneels to choose. Okay? These are your natural gifts and talents, or lack thereof. Akunleyan can be changed, which is why the Yoruba say, Akunleyan eda, adele ayetan ojunkani. We knelt down in heaven and chose our destinies, but when we arrive on earth, we become impatient. Okay? When we are in a hurry, when the experience is on us heavily, right, we just want to go. You know, we want relief. Okay. Akun Le Young, is this piece or this aspect that allows us to pick the best expression? Okay. It's not fixed. Right? It's not, I don't even know if we can say that it's limited. Akun Leyan. You can imagine that maybe you have five options of how you could respond. You have five real talents. You have five real skill sets, right? But you just keep going to one over and over and over again. Maybe out of habit, right? But right now, I want you to entertain the idea with Akun Le Young that there are some deeply seated attributes that you have access to, and maybe you have more flexibility to choose them more freely than you have thought in the past. Okay? You just need to make the time to sort of, for lack of better terms, you know, to graph them or something, like chart them. What are they? What are the possibilities? And so for the second task, I want you to pay attention to just one of your habits, one of the behaviors that you mentioned in the first task, right? You're going to look through all of them. Maybe you'll categorize them. Maybe you'll, you know, rank them. I don't know. But you'll look at all those. And you'll look at one, though. I want you to just, one is going to stand out. One of them is going to be like, just more attention grabbing than the other. I want you to look at that one. Okay? Secondly, I want you to answer the question of how long have you practiced this habit? How long have you practiced this habit? What's the earliest recollection you have of this particular habit? That's question two. Oh, it's a two-part question for number two. How long have you practiced this habit, and what's your earliest recollection of it? And number three, how has it changed your life? How has this habit changed your life? Okay, that's task two, dealing with Akun Le Young. And task number three is going to be related to the third and final aspect of destiny that we're going to cover in this particular class. Okay, that is Akun Legba. Akun Legba. Akun Legba is that which is received while kneeling. Akun Leba is that which is received while kneeling. Okay? These are gifts and attributes which have been received from the Orisha. Akun Leba complements Akun Leyan and can be changed as well. Akun Leba, what the Orisha gives to you, complements Akun Leyan, that which you have chosen for yourself, and can be changed as well. Both of them are changeable. Okay? Both of them are changeable. So that has a couple of different kinds of implications. Because it says that you have some flexibility in your choosing of your talents, right? We're talking about in that point, that prenatal state, there's a range of abilities that are built in, that are endemic to you. You've got a skill set, a range of powers, right? Some of them aren't changeable. Some of them are changeable. And right here, we can see that as your choices change, as your decisions change, well, the blessings, the opportunities, the resources, the powers that the Orisha are sharing with you can also change. Okay? And that's why the Yoruba say, Akun legba lowa lowoeda ko shogbon owo shokogbon omo omo. Excuse my Yoruba is awful, I know. Akun legba lowa lowoeda ko shogbon owo ko shogbon omo. And this says that which is chosen kneeling is what the Creator holds. That which is chosen kneeling is what the Creator holds. So you chose something, and as you made a choice, then an Orisha chose to support you. And as you choose another thing, the Orisha will choose to support you. Okay? It's important that you choose wisely, that you choose in a way that's going to be consistent with all the different levels of your being, that you're going to choose in a way that really supports you having that gold in your stomach, right? Choosing really, really the best thing, right? Always choosing the best thing. And task number three, not choice number three, task number three is grasping the thread of life. Grasping the thread of life. The thread of life is what we call okun aye. Okun aye. Here I want you to actually do something very different from what we've done in the other two exercises. And this is going to be a creative process, you know. Well, I guess you could, if you're into writing, or you could be creative. Actually, let me not put it that way. This is going to involve visual art. Okay, you can be creative in all of the responses, really, but this one is just looking at visual art as the media of expression. And before I describe this particular task, I want to say a little bit about the thread of life and the rope of continuity, right? You see there's a bit of a theme here, right? The rope of continuity is this aspiring path that creates consistency or helps us to seek out a more consistent learning process, right? And that's what I'm trying to provide you anyway. Through the rope of continuity, a consistent learning process. In this particular task number three, we're looking at the thread of life, which is something that comes out of Yoruba theology, Idin Ileke, and more particular, that tells us about the thread of life and how Romila used a gentle character to seize the thread of life from the 201 Iromale. The thread of life is it is our highest blessing, you could say. That's what connects us, links us to the heavenly realm. And of course it's an analogy, or a metaphor I should say. But the thread of life for the intent of this exercise is the same as the rope of continuity. Okay, and what I mean by that is that we need to maintain our grasp on that continuum in order to prevent ourselves from getting lost. All right. In this particular series of lessons, right, when we're looking at suffering and pain, angers, you know, losses, we're looking at our fears and our vulnerabilities, we're going into these habits, we're exploring our shadows. it'll be tempting to polarize things, to go to be extremist, right? But the rope of continuity is what keeps us thinking in a circular kind of a way, okay? And it keeps us focused on staying aware, right? And so in the rope of continuity, the way I teach it to people is this, and you're going to need to take note of this and consider this and, you know, apply this to your drawing. The rope of continuity is based on this. You can envision yourself or remember a time, an experience that you had wherein you were in the happiest, most elevated, you know what I mean, just the happiest state, right? And you can then remember a time where you were in the lowest, darkest, saddest, most painful space, right? This is an exercise wherein you experience, maybe you're, even when you're in a difficult place, you may be experiencing what you feel is like just really bad. It may not be your darkest hour, but it's just bad. It's really uncomfortable. It's important that you be present in that and you deal with whatever it is that's troubling you, but at the same time, you remember what it means and what it's like to be just in total bliss. Okay, you identify everything, all of the emotions, all of the thoughts, all of the, you know what I mean, just the euphoria of being totally, you know, happy and blissed out. And then vice versa, right? So that's the rope of continuity as a mental ritual, if you will. That's medicine, right? The rope of continuity is medicine. And it is, like I said, for the purpose of this activity, it is the same as Okuanye, the thread of life. It's that thread of life that allows you to experience and recall both extremes and stay alert, right, and not be totally freaked out, okay, by either one or the other, okay? That's what we need to maintain our balance in this whole process, because I really want – I know that you, as you go into this lesson, you're gonna come out of it – impact it. It's going to influence you. Okay, it requires, however, that you do it fully and in earnest. And the reason why it's important that you do it is not just because I say so, but it's because our ability to manifest our prenatal choice is enough. I mean that is, if you ever needed a prospect, right, for healing yourself and reestablishing order in your life, well, the possibility of aligning yourself with your prenatal choice is, that's an excellent prospect. Right. I can't think of much more than being able to deliberately align myself with my purpose, my initial purpose, my original thought. Okay? That's what we're aspiring to by grasping and holding on to the thread of life. It helps us stabilize ourselves to be able to, you know, lock in on that signal, if you will. So what I want you to do is I want you to draw a picture of yourself grasping Okuanye the thread of life. Okay? I want you to draw a picture of yourself. And in this picture, you know, I want you to show and reflect what it looks like for you to be in the continuum of total bliss and the dark abyss. Once you have the image of yourself, right? If there's a main symbol that you've got, hey, this is it. I want you to also make another pass over this image and fill in the surrounding environment using symbols, using colors, using shapes, right? Draw it in, right? Just like this is what's kind of supporting characters. This is what's complementing what's going on for me. Okay? And what I want you to know about this particular part of the assignment is if you need to do more than one draft, it's fine. If you draw it all out and you know it doesn't quite look right because you know there's something else that you have to have there or take out, then that's fine. Do as many drafts as you need to. Okay? And we're not looking for something that was museum quality, right, that we're going to hang up someplace. This is really for you. This is to clarify your own thoughts around, you know, your life and what it means. And although that's a long process, it's a long, lifelong process, this particular activity, I'd say if you give it an hour, you should be able to complete task number 1, 2, and 3 and post your responses on the dashboard in the next 7 days. Okay, and that's what I want you to do next. I want you to go and put in at least an hour to complete those three tasks and post your response on the dashboard within the next 7 days. It might take you a little while to do a couple of rounds of the picture. We'll account for that. But I think you should be able to knock it out in 7 days. And so I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing your responses, reading your comments, and learning more about this journey. Because, you know, as your tour guide, it's always different depending on, time, depending on who is present at a given time and what kinds of responses people give and what I've, you know, brought into the situation based on what happened to me before I got there or what have you. So it's a learning process always. And I'm very eager to learn some more with you. And so with that said, I thank you for your time, and I look forward to reading and seeing your responses. Bye for now.